was trying to decide why he was bringing this up if he didn't believe it anyway and discounted. He mentioned Adam and Eve, mentioned Noah's Ark and that. So based on what Pastor said, was he stating that so that he was disallowing Robbie to use any of that, is what he was saying?
Well,
we already know it's also not proven, so don't use that.
Well, there, he makes an untrue claim.
Right.
We already know this.
When somebody uses an if in there, that's a word to pay attention. What are they trying to say? And he's making a false claim from the very beginning.
Right.
And his if is false.
A lot of people don't want to hear, which is a very common statement when you're talking about the length of the earth and that, using Noah's Ark and all that stuff. So it almost sounded like he was trying to say that disqualified because we already know it's untrue.
Well, according to his atheist religion,
yes,
it's not.
Correct.
That is the first point, that if you are getting into somebody's discussion, they're denying the miraculous.
Right.
But see, this is exactly what Michael's getting at as far as the presuppositional thing, because, for example, let's look at homelessness, okay? And people are debating about what to do, like politically. If your starting point is that you believe in human depravity and sinfulness of man, and that's going to drive you to look for certain solutions, where if somebody else completely disallows that and they view it all as, institutional things that have driven, that's going to be, they're going to have a different approach. We need to clean up the system. That'll take care of homelessness.
Yes.
No, we need to clean up the heart.
Have a different set of alternatives. On my website here, down the left column, there is a creation-evolution comparison. If you start with evolution, these are the things. If you start with creation, you start with God, these are the things. And there's a section, even politically, if you start with God, you end up in free enterprise. If you start with evolution, you end up with socialism. Leon Trotsky, one of the architects of the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, said, God is atheism, and atheism is socialism, and socialism is atheism. So he's making that connection. And the big push for socialism now, look who's doing it. They're either atheistic, Bernie Sanders, absolutely atheistic, or they're functionally atheistic. I was amazed at Hillary Clinton's abdication speech when Trump won the election, is that she finished off with a prayer. Who are you praying to? Because you don't believe any of that stuff. It was just a show, pretense. But, okay, there it is. So as you get into the discussions with people, begin more, and this is part of more of what the apologist does, is we listen a little more carefully to what they're saying, and we're looking for those foundational things that we can. And God told Jeremiah, you're going to tear down and you're going to build up, and it's those both things have to happen. That is, as we begin to question about these, so you're an atheist, why are you saying, why are you making moral claims? What basis? Is that just your opinion? And why should anybody listen to you? So we begin to do those kinds of things instead of getting way out here and we're just dealing with dandelion heads.
You're just spinning your wheels, accomplishing nothing.
And I was one of those that I would generate lots of heat and very little light. They get in these arguments and they just go round. And we think we come to a conclusion. 3 days later, get in discussion with the same guy and we're back into the same stuff. And it's like a total waste of time. And so we learn to become more effective. And this is part of it. In listening, what do we listen to? And I say you got to pick your battles. So most of the stuff, you're just going to have to let it go. But you're looking for those places that if you deal with this, this becomes irrelevant. Okay, so the next guy.
One of the neat, I mean, he based things on theory versus law. So a theory of evolution. I mean, it's on a theory. So what is it? It's a theory. It's not proven law. So I mean, how can you stand on theory?
There's a great video, Bill Whittle. I'm not sure what he's doing these days, but he has one called The Love of Theory. And he uses the analogy of a home train set. And that the theorist love, and it came from this thing this guy said, that the love of theory is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the more detail this train set has, the better they like it. And he opens up with the most meticulously planned battle of the First World War. It cost 50,000 lives in like 6 hours. It was supposed to be a slam dunk, and he said, this is the theoreticians. And then he talks about Patton getting orders to go around a certain city because it's impregnable. And they said, well, we've already taken it. You want me to give it back? So this theory is good, and it has its place, but being fluid in real life. That's where a lot of the, you will probably never hear anybody say these things exactly these ways. And so being fluid enough, and that's with the help of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. we need to, sometimes I'll say the same thing, but in a different way. Mm-hmm. And it clicks. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed sometimes, and I love it when somebody says something better than I ever could. Mm-hmm. Well, I just use that.
And that's why, if you listen long enough, you'll hear people that they deny any kind of concrete truth, and everything's subjective, and then they make all kinds of concrete truth statements.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Based on what?
Right, I mean, they're just completely inconsistent. But if you try to point that out, it's really hard for them to be.
It's rough, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're so used to things being, and that's what a mindset does, and that's right. Where we're hoping to shift here, is shift into a mindset. And again, the best example, when Jesus was asked about, should we pay taxes or not pay taxes? Show me the money. Mm-hmm. He completely shifted it from who do we pay to what is it we're paying and why. He just backed it out of a way into such a way that it just, and that's always the wisdom of God that they do that. And that's, I think this is the close, presuppositional apologetics is the closest to being able to think like God, because everybody's dealing with these issues. The dandelion heads. Let's go down here. We kill that root. We don't have to worry about these other, everything else will take care of itself. And in like some of the holiness circles, they were trying to make everybody look good and sound good before they were even born again. They don't even have the capability within them, but they were telling them how you're going to dress and your hair length and no makeup, no jewelry, just things like that to impress the crowd more than impressing. So, this is Max calling in to a talk show.
Okay, let's go back to the phone. Max, a first-time caller from Canoga Park. I think I've heard from Max before. Max, you're on KKLS.
How do you do?
Okay.
George.
Yes.
I've got your book, and it's dog-eared and underlined and highlighted all over the place. I think it's the best book that has ever been written.
Thank you.
Atheism. But the title should really be Atheism, the case against the idea of God.
Yes.
And that's what you meant.
Yeah, there was a little dramatic license taken. That would have spoiled the symmetry of the title.
Right.
So it is the case, it's a philosophical case against God, obviously. Mm-hmm.
And as to this explaining thing, how does one explain existence? To me, that is totally absurd.
I agree. Existence is simply the causal primer. In other words, if you ask for a causal explanation of something, that presupposes something that exists and acts as a causal agent.
Exactly. And all of the arguments for the existence of God presuppose the existence of God. It's question begging.
There's no problem.
From beginning to end.
Hold on, Max. Let Greg Barnes respond to that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that is one of the most common and silly arguments against the Christian apologetic imaginable. Of course, arguments in favor of God presuppose the existence of God, just like arguments in favor of atheistic reason presuppose atheistic reason.
Wait a minute, sir. Just 1 minute. There is no reason to presuppose reason. Reason exists naturally.
Oh, it does?
Reason, we wouldn't be...
Where did you find reason growing naturally? Show me where that is. Someplace in the United States?
Reason? Reason is the human brain, sir.
Oh, it is. Well, then what you're talking about is electrochemical processes in the brain.
Is that not natural?
Well, that certainly is natural, but that's not at all what you mean by reason, I assure you, when you talk about the use of the laws of logic, because your brain cells are not being controlled by anything like the laws of logic.
Well, what am I being controlled by?
Well, I would argue they're being controlled by God, but that's not the answer you want. The question that I have for you is, if you assume the laws of physics and biology and so forth, I would think that you believe your brain cells are being controlled by those laws, in which case you're not really thinking and making free decisions when you say the things you do, even arguing against God. You're simply the subject of biochemical responses.
Sir, that is not
what we have meant historically by the use of reason.
Sir, as to controlling things by natural laws are nothing more than uniform occurrences that do happen with unvarying uniformity.
Natural laws?
Have you ever seen a natural law? Pardon?
Max, have you ever seen a natural law?
I beg your pardon?
Max, have you ever seen a natural law? Have you ever tasted one, smelt one?
Of course not. The entire concept of a law is totally abstract.
Exactly.
It's talking about direct experience.
Now, can you explain to me how in an atheist universe there are such things as abstract entities?
Come on. Every idea, every thought is an abstraction.
That's right. Every one of them is proof that you're wrong as an atheist. How do you account for the existence of abstract ideas in an atheist universe? They don't grow on trees, Max. You've already granted that.
Oh, boy.
Well, now look. Live by your own presuppositions. That's all I'm calling you to do.
Is God an abstraction, Rick?
No. God is a personal, non-physical being.
Non-physical.
There you go.
What is to be more specific? I mean, non-existence is non-physical as well. So how do we distinguish God from non-existence?
I'm not hanging up, George. Let them explain God.
Max, I'm doing my best, Max.
Max, appreciate the call. Okay, go ahead.
Well, obviously you distinguish God, a non-physical being, from, say, the concept of love, or, say, the concept of number, or the laws of physics or the laws of logic. You distinguish them according to their characteristics. God is a person, makes choices, and does things. Numbers do not.
He's a non-physical person.
He's a non-physical person, that's right. Now, you know that already, George, so make your point.
I don't understand what the concept is, obviously. In other words, as Max said, there's a question here. You're getting on his case about these abstractions, and you're claiming God somehow explains
them. Oh, no, I don't think there's any problem with abstractions, except in an atheist universe. In an atheist universe, what you have is a physical eyeball and a physical ear and, some kind of stuff inside the head.
What
I want to know is where you get abstraction and what is the physical particular.
You're going from the known to the unknown. This is my point.
No, I'm not. I'm going from the known to the known.
However you think abstractions originate or where they come from or how we explain them, I think we can agree we do abstract and we do think conceptually. We know that.
We abstract, is not the issue here. It's accounting for abstractions, which you can't do.
But we can agree, at least to begin with, that I do not disagree. There are abstractions do exist.
In my universe, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. In yours, it doesn't.
All right, so at least we can agree. I know what an abstraction is, for us, let's say. Now, you claim that abstractions need some kind of explanation. And I say, Greg, okay, what's your explanation? Now, Greg, let me finish.
Okay.
I say, Greg, what's your explanation for abstraction? And you say, it's a personal, non-physical person.
No, I think you're mistaken me. You asked what God was, and I answered that.
And I think
we both know what an abstraction is. I didn't ask for an explanation of an abstraction, as though you've got to give me some kind of causal story of where the abstraction came from. I asked for how abstractions make sense, are cogent, within a worldview where there's nothing but matter.
Okay, let's go back to the phone. Mac, the first-time caller from Canoga Park.
Okay.
So, it's like they don't even know how to deal with the question. But they have to keep talking. This was a 2-hour kind of debate call-in. So it's Christian channel and Christian radio station in Los Angeles. Laws don't grow on trees, no. So how do you account for stuff like that? And so this kind of becomes the battleground. And sometimes and mostly talk about atheism, but this applies Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, everything. Mm-hmm. Because it's an all of reality position. When we start with God, we are dealing with all of reality. Mm-hmm. And absolutely everything becomes proof for the existence of God. You know, I think of those martial arts guys in the movies that can take anything and make a weapon out of it. And that's kind of what this is. Absolutely everything that exists is proof of the existence of God. And so no matter what the conversation is, it can become very natural to show how God is the answer. And not just any God, remember, we're talking about a very specific God. We're not ever. Sometimes people will come to the place, yes, I acknowledge that there is some kind of supreme being, maybe aliens, out there, as a step. But from our position, we are never, ever talking about anything but the triune Creator God, the God who made everything. And that's his credential throughout the whole Old Testament, the God who made everything. The 2 Corinthians 4, the God who said, let there be light. That's the one we're talking about. And the Word, who was God, became flesh and dwelt among us. So we're always working to that point, which is getting. Ultimately, people saved, but then after that, discipled and growing to be what God has made them to be. So, kind of brings in the next question: is the myth of neutrality? And in you ever heard, we just follow the facts where they lead. Let's just look at the evidence and see where it takes us. That's mythology. Nobody does that. It sounds good. It sounds good in the academic world because you sound more high-minded if you're open-minded, if you're neutral. And there are places where we have to be. If you're going to be a juror in a court situation, you may have some strong feelings about it, but you have to have the ability to set it aside, view the evidence objectively, and come to a conclusion. But even in court, what's the standard?
Well, it depends what you're talking about. But
reasonable doubt.
Right.
Right? For the defense, all we have to show is reasonable doubt. We don't have to prove anything. And that's one of the big differences between evidence and proof. Evidence is never proof. Proof has a much higher standard. Evidence has a probability attached to it. And if you'll hear some of the other apologists talking about the probability that Jesus fulfilled all 350 Old Testament prophecies in his life is like burying the state of Texas at 2 feet of silver dollars, paint one red, throw it out there, and you go out and you pick it up the first time. That's a probability. It's a one in so many chances. I was at the University of Wyoming when Institute for Creation Research guys came. This was my first exposure to creation science. And the evolutionists were just beside themselves arguing because they showed that the possibility of getting one protein and we got tens of thousands of them in our body, to get one protein was one chance in 10 to the 40,000th power.